is far from true. In classical yoga teachings, we look at individuality as being the actinic energy, or the clear white light, the pure energy substance of the mind, which is constant, ever unfolding itself, peaceful and controlled. The personality we consider as the various masks or persona which cover the individuality. The persona, which are heavy, dark, and glued onto one's face, so to speak, are those of an intense ego, congested otic force. They are most difficult and rather painful to drop off, or even to pull off. The persona, which are transparent, allow the clear white light from the actinic being to shine through. One can have many of these personalities and have fun using them constructively in the world, doing things of the world, always recognizing that the clearness of actinic vision shines through the mind-constructed personality of the individual's race, occupation, social background, and various accomplishments. Personality is often emphasized. I remember speaking to a Western woman from Quebec came and was thinking of going on our inner search program, almost did go on the inner search program, involved in a number of teachings, mostly New Age teachings, and she was very proud to know something about her past lives, kind of sharing that information. Oh, I know something about my past lives and this, this, and this. You know, and here I was thinking about this, you know, having a personality identification for one life is challenging enough, you know. When you remember them for multiple lives, you know, it's kind of going the wrong direction from Gurudeva's point of view. So it pointed out a distinct difference in, you know, the New Age, which is not really new, you know, interest in past lives is been around for a long time. We'll just say the metaphysical interest in past lives, who I was in a past life and what I did in a past life, and isn't that great to know that, plus my current life and maybe what I'll be in a future life, all the emphasis on the outer personality versus the individuality, the pure awareness inside us. So it's a very different emphasis that Gurudeva is giving. Many people become attached to their personality and suffer when it changes. One cannot, however, be attached to his individuality. In identifying the difference between personality and individuality, we can say that man's individuality is the actinic, superconscious mind, which is constant, permanent, ever unfolding and secure, and deep within at a more intense rate of vibration than his otic consciousness and subconscious mind, which make up the ever-changing personality. It is conceivable that man can have many different personalities, but he can have only one constant unfolding individuality. And so it is the ego or personality masks we must identify as being the unreal and impermanent, and the actinic individuality as being the permanent, secure, ever unfolding and refined actinic phase of the mind. This week, do an internal concentration on the words personality and individuality. Try to locate your individuality by identifying your several masks or personalities that you have created in this life, and write your findings on why you can get attached to personality but cannot get attached to individuality. We were doing this on the India Inner Search, and so I gave this exercise. We don't have time for an exercise, but you can see what I gave. Think about your personality of the present versus your personality when you were about 10 years old. Okay, you're a very different person when you were 10 years old, right? Identify major changes between your personality at that time versus the present. The part of you that is not changed is your awareness, your individuality, or your individual awareness. So the idea is, when you look at yourself in the past, we tend to look at our outer personality and see how much we've changed. But if we look inside, there's part of us that is the same. So if we look at that part of us which is the same, then we're looking at our individuality or our actinic energy. I was thinking on this and related it to one of Gurudeva's key Mahavakya, God is the life of our life. It's the first sloka of Dancing with Shiva, so that shows it's important, right? I put it first. God is the life of our life. So unfortunately in English we have many words and they all mean the same thing, but we get confused because they appear to be different. So the idea is when Gurudeva refers to actinic energy or individuality, which is what we were talking about, it's the same thing as life. Life means actinic energy. So when we say the life, we're saying the actinic energy or the individuality. It's just different words for the same thing. When we say the life of our life, we're looking for the life that makes everything else work. In other words, obviously the body has life, but when we pass on, it doesn't. So something else is giving life to the body, which is the soul. And even in the subtle world, the astral world, there's a body, but we drop that off. So the soul is giving life to that life. So the soul is the life that's giving life to everything else. It's the idea. In modern terms, I was thinking of electricity. You take electricity, you could run all kinds of different machines with the same electricity. You could choose to run a computer, run a television, run a kitchen appliance. But it's that energy that you're using to run the different machines is the life of life, the life that gives life to the machine. The machine works because of electricity. Electricity runs through different machines and makes it work. So it's similar to the life of life. The electricity gives life to the machine. Likewise, the soul is giving life to us. So Gurudeva says in Sloka 1, we are mortal souls living and growing in the great school of earthly experience in which we have lived many lives. Vedic rishis have given us courage by uttering the simple truth, God is the life of our life. A great sage carried it further by saying, there is one thing God cannot do. God cannot separate himself from us. This is because God is our life. God is the life in the birds. God is the life in the fish. God is the life in the animals. Becoming aware of this life energy in all that lives is becoming aware of God's loving presence within us. We are the undying consciousness and energy flowing through all things. Deep inside, we are perfect this very moment, and we have only to discover and live up to this perfection to be whole. Our energy and God's energy are the same, ever coming out of the void. We are all beautiful children of God. Each day we should try to see the life energy in trees, birds, animals, and people. When we do, we are seeing God Shiva in action. The Vedas affirm, he who knows God as the life of life, the eye of the eye, the ear of the ear, the mind of the mind, he indeed comprehends fully the cause of all causes. So that's a beautiful verse, and it's, you know, the idea of the eye of the eye, for example, is that which makes the eye work. So it's life. That which makes the eye work, that which makes the mind work, is life. Taking a different switch on the words, so far we've talked about individuality, actinic energy, and life. And we're saying there are three different phrases or three different words for the same concept. I'm going to add two more. Gurudeva says, energy, awareness, and willpower are one and the same. Remember that? And now we're up to five, because we've added awareness and willpower. We have five different English words or phrases that mean exactly, refer exactly to the same thing in Gurudeva's teachings. So I wanted to relate individuality to awareness. And awareness, as we know, is a very key concept in the Shum language, awareness, which is just another word for actinic energy. There's a nice exercise. I haven't created the meditation for it, but I thought it would be a great meditation. I'll read this and then I'll explain the meditation. I have to find the Shum words to do it. The seventh dimension is clear inner space. Not clear white light, just clear space. Whereas in the sixth dimension, one experiences an intensity of inner light that glows in every cell of the body, through the torso, the hands, legs, and feet. In the seventh dimension, he comes into pure inner space, seeing within himself a vast space that goes on and on and on, like an infinite inner sky. Rudy was pointing out that inner light is not the deepest experience. In many places, he explains that inner light is the friction between actinic energy and odic energy. It creates a friction, sparks, rubbing two things together. Actinic energy is hitting odic energy. And when that happens, you have light. But the actinic energy itself doesn't appear as light. It appears as clear inner space. One deeply immersed in the seventh dimension would be aware of being aware without an awareness of light. In a sense, he would be above the vibratory rate of light, and with no thing to be aware of, awareness becomes conscious of itself. In other words, when the inner vibration gets high enough, there's nothing else there. So awareness has no choice but to be only aware of itself. There's nothing else there. This is the meditation. Awareness can expand into the endless inner space of the seventh dimension or contract into being completely aware of itself, kaif. So wouldn't that be a great meditation? You go out and then you come back in. Go out and you come back in. Exploring the two different perspectives on the seventh dimension. Experience of kaif is simple. Our concepts about it are the biggest barrier. We often feel that pure consciousness must be earned by a saintly life, and we generally know our life well enough to disqualify ourselves. A little humor there. However, anyone can experience kaif, awareness aware of itself, for brief interludes. Therefore, although kaif is itself easy to attain, it is indeed difficult to sustain for longer periods, and even more difficult to dissolve into im kaif, self-realization. Gurudev is trying to take away the barrier that we sometimes put up. I'm not ready to experience this. I'm not worthy to experience this. He's taking it away and saying it's easy to experience. Anyone can experience pure awareness aware of itself. It's just that it takes practice or adjustments to sustain it because we're pulled out by the contents of our subconscious and conscious mind. Pull us out of it quickly so we can't sustain it. One last tip. Where David says, it is good to locate the dimensions and distinguish them from the chakras. The chakras is the power of awareness within the dimension itself. Look at each dimension through the area of the body where the chakra exists. For instance, when in Shumi in the fourth dimension, try to look at the world through the chest. When in the seventh dimension, try to look at the inner world through the top of the head. When in the fifth dimension, try to look out through the throat area. This is best done, of course, through Shumnam meditation. You will find that each chakra relates directly to the third eye, and the third eye focuses through the chakra. Gurudeva goes on to say, just as you can see through your fingers, you can feel things, it's the same way through the chakras. That's the idea, that looking at individuality versus personality and looking at it from all these different points of view as the part of us that doesn't change versus the part of us that does, as actinic energy, as life of life, as awareness, and as willpower. Thank you very much.